2872, and the purpose of this meeting is to consider proposed amendments to the bee engrossed House Bill 2872. We have amendments from Legislative Council. We have an 8 and a 9. I think what we're looking at right now is the 9-9 amendments. And I guess...
Are we in a work session, Madam Chair?
We are in a work session. I've opened a work session on...
Madam Chair, I'd move the B9 amendments to House Bill 2872.
Okay. Representative Smith has moved the B9 amendments to House Bill 2872. Any discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was a yes vote on House Bill 2872, and as I in committee, but then as I explained in the floor, I had inadvertently forgot the importance of two-way communication devices as it relates to agriculture in Eastern Oregon, and so consequently, I voted no, and I encourage my members in the on the Republican side of the House to join me in a no vote. And the reason for this was I'm thinking about our teenagers who, for summer work, drive truck, whether it's during harvest or during the planting season. Quite often, their travel on county roads is very coordinated with two-way communication devices, not cell phones necessarily, but more CBs and walkie-talkies. And so the -B9 amendments would address the issue I had, and I'd be more than willing with this amendment to go back to my Republican caucus and say this is something we ought to get behind, because I'll tell you what, it is in the interest of safety for our youth. So that's why I've introduced this amendment.
Thank you. And I guess I should probably just go back real quick and let Judith let everybody who's watching know what bill we're talking about.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2872B is the measure that prohibits a person under the age of 18 who holds a provisional driver's license, a special student driver permit, or an instruction driver permit from using a mobile communication device while operating a motor vehicle on a highway. I have provided you the definition of highway from the statute just so you can see that it is, in fact, any roadway. It doesn't just mean a I-5 or what have you. It means any road that we would typically drive our cars upon. It does, this measure now has it as Class D traffic violation for the offense, which is a maximum $90 fine. The -B9 amendments provide an exception for a person using a mobile communication device in two instances. First of all, summoning medical emergency help if no other person in the vehicle is capable of doing that, and second of all, while engaging in farm or agricultural operations. The amendment further takes us down to a secondary offense, and that is a police officer may not enforce this violation unless the driver has been detained for another suspected traffic violation. We have a no revenue impact on the B engrossed version, and you have the fiscal statement from that B engrossed version in your materials. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I also, I know there's going to be some comments, but I would like to call Troy up to just double check and make sure he's had a look at this amendment.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Troy Costales, Administrator of the Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. House Bill 2872, B engrossed version, in dealing with the cell phone restrictions for those under 18, as Ms. Collins had pointed out, does give us the responsibility of communicating with the teen drivers through driver education as well as other means, letting them know that this is another restriction that they need to be worrying about in relationship to their time and learning how to be behind the wheel. My main concern is making sure that when we have teenagers learning how to drive, that they're doing it in the safest mode in a controlled situation, so they're building good habits that's going to live with them forever for the rest of their life. I'd rather have them get it right at 16 and 17 than try at 26, 36, 46, or 56, have them relearn something a little bit more difficult to change a habit and change a behavior. In Oregon, we've had a tremendous amount of success since 1999 when the provisional license law went in, where we've seen 40%+ reduction and the number of teenage 16, 17-year-old drivers behind the wheel when someone's killed or injured in this state. Went from 100 a month down to about 55 a month. which is huge. We still can do better. I believe that this is one of those things that we see a lot of it on the road. We don't see a lot of it in the press because it's one of the things that law enforcement officers don't have to report on because it's not a current restriction. Yet I think that this would have an impact on continuing to reduce the number of deaths and injuries caused 16 and 17-year-olds behind the wheel in the state of Oregon. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd be more than happy to answer any other questions.
The only one I had was we'd had an earlier conversation about the exemption for ag, and I wanted to make sure that there are no issues.
Madam Chair, currently if an individual wants to drive vehicles for agricultural purposes, they have that ability even without a license. However, if they do have a license, if a 16, 17-year-old, and they have a current provisional license, then the restrictions that would be put in place would be holding to them whether or not they're under agricultural purposes. So the situation is going to be and is still going to be if an individual is driving an agricultural vehicle, farm vehicle for farm purposes, they're not licensed. They're not provisional. They're not under an instructional student driver or instructional permit. These are not going to apply to them because we're only capturing three types of 16 and 17-year-olds, provisional license, the student driver permit, and the instructional permit. So if I'm a 16, 15, 16, 17-year-old under that situation and drive a farm vehicle, then I'm still going to be exempt. If I am not one of those under the current version of the bill, then I'm going to end up being restricted to not using communication devices. The B9s are going to cut across the whole situation. We have a 15, 16, 17-year-old operating farm vehicles for farm agricultural purposes. The two-way communication device exception would apply to all of them if the B9s were adopted.
Okay. And I know, Senator Monroe, do you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I have a question for Troy.
Right.
Could.
Okay.
Troy, could you comment on secondary versus primary enforcement and some of the other laws that we have in this state and other states have, that some of which have primary enforcement, some of which have secondary, which seems to work the best and so on?
Madam Chair and Senator Monroe, the primary enforcement is going to be the easiest to use, the best to use, going to have the highest impact in relationship to law enforcement ability and our ability to communicate with parents and with the teens in the situation, because it is the law. You don't have to pre-set it up and talk about some other occasion occurring first and then this. However, secondary law also has an impact, because when we do the communication, we'll talk about it as saying, and here are the restrictions, just as we have today with nighttime and passenger type restrictions. Those are secondary and recurrent law. But when we talk about them, when they say they are a license restriction, just as if those of you have to wear glasses, that's license restriction. Having to carry insurance, that's a condition upon operating the vehicle. You can't be stopped for either of those things unto itself. Something else is going to occur, and that's added on. Law enforcement would have the ability in this case, if they stopped them for something, let's say running through a stop sign, found out that, okay, now I also saw they were on the cell phone, they have the ability to make the stop for running the stop sign, but they can cite just for the ability for using the cell phone. They have that authority under Oregon law to be able to do that and go past the first piece, because the primary stop, the probable cause, is running through the stop sign. Both will have an impact. The better impact would be primary of the two. The easier to talk about, the easier. You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to tie it to something else. For situation Oregon seatbelt law, teenagers, that particular piece, they have to wear the seatbelt. That's a primary enforceable piece of their provisional license, as it is for all of us. 95-97% compliance rate within the state of Oregon on seatbelts. The nighttime passenger restriction, those types of things, I don't think we're going to see as high as a compliance, because it's a secondary piece. It's not something that law enforcement can go out and enforce, yet we have a pretty high compliance just because we've seen such a big reduction in the state.
Follow-up. Troy, let's say a young person, and it's hard for the police officer to tell whether they're 16, 17, or 18, is police officer observes young person driving, talking on a cell phone, and maybe driving, I don't want to say erratically, but a lot of times when people are talking on a cell phone, their driving behavior is a little different. Maybe they go real slow for a while and then they speed up, or maybe they swerve a little bit or something, because talking on a cell phone is a distractive thing. So a police officer observes that. with secondary enforcement, he wouldn't be able to stop that car?
Madam Chair, Senator Monroe, if the driver, you know, was to leave their lane, you know, go across the sideline, you know, center lane or fog line or showing an erratic pattern of driving, you know, law enforcement has probable cause to be able to stop that vehicle because of their driving. But it's going to have to be something that's exhibited as, you know, maybe not as high as careless or reckless, but someone be able to failure to maintain within the control of their lane, or if they were speeding or if they're impeding traffic for some reason, then they'd be able to have a conversation with the cell phone. They could not stop for cell phone alone. There'd have to be some other driving behavior first if the B9s were the ones that were adopted.
And I've heard it said that in that kind of a situation, the police officer might actually start looking for some other reason for stopping that person and might end up giving them a more serious ticket than if they just stopped them and cited them for $90 or whatever it is for talking on their cell phone.
Okay. Representative Smith, and then...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I really want to share with you that I think this bill is an important piece of legislation to protect our children. I have a 16-year-old son who is learning to drive, and I also have a tree in my front yard and a Suburban with one less mirror because the tree in the yard jumped in the street and hit the mirror as my son was driving. And so I know the importance of maintaining full attention as driving for our youth. Really quick question on the agricultural exemption. How would this apply to a teenager with a provisional license who's driving a one-ton pickup during roundup, if they're driving down the road pushing cattle in a pickup?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith,
State Highway.
Relating to B9,
yeah,
versus the current bill. Okay, relating to B9, if using the vehicle, so you're saying the 16, 17-year-old has a provisional license as is today. Okay, so they've got pass restriction, nighttime restriction, et cetera. If the B9s are adopted and using the vehicle that is considered a farm or agricultural operation, then the B9s would say they would be able to be on the two-way communication device without any problem.
Okay, so I just follow up. I just want to be really clear. So your interpretation is not that it's related solely to ag equipment, but as it says, for equipment that's used for purposes of farming or agricultural operations, and so that could be a half-ton Chevy pickup that's being used during roundup pushing cattle.
Madam Chair and Representative Smith, yes, that's, I agree, similar to combine and other vehicles that might be for that particular purpose.
Just very quick, if I may, committee, earlier in this morning, Representative McPherson and I were talking about the need for this, and I was talking about harvest. And I think a better example of the need for this would be during roundup, when multiple cowboys are on horse, on ATV, and in their truck. And quite often, the youngest member of the drive is in the back in a pickup, and their job solely is to slowly push the cattle. And quite often, they're all on their walkie-talkies communicating. And this amendment would address that issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I'll just offer a comment here rather than a question for Mr. Costales. But the B9 amendments are in response to concerns that were expressed in the floor debate on the bill on the House floor and in subsequent conversations I had with several people who had expressed concern. And the two principal concerns were the one that Representative Smith has raised about the agricultural operations, and the other was about the change that was made to the bill on the Senate side at my urging to the Senate committee to move from a secondary offense to a primary because at the same time as dropping the fine from the Class B to Class D in its fine level, so it would be a much lower fine. But the concern was about whether there people would be profiled or stopped when the for on this as a pretense. I don't see that as a problem because I think there we already engage in a lot of traffic enforcement to try to deal with what an officer observes and going on the highway. We need to give them a wide latitude to make our roadways safe. But in response to the concerns that have been expressed, I would urge returning to the secondary enforcement because I think the main thing we're trying to accomplish is to is to reinforce our parents in good parenting. Parents will urge their children to behave a certain way, but if the law hasn't been amended to set a certain standard, it's a much tougher thing for a parent to stake out as ground. And I think that many parents, at least the ones that I'm hearing from, will be grateful about this because it sets a standard that then they can stand on in guiding the conduct of their children.
Thank you. Madam
Chair, I guess a couple questions. Troy, and what Representative Smith brought out, I guess it really homes in, and I think we really need to know exactly what that portion of the exception was going to be. It says, to a person using a mobile communication device for the purpose of farming or agricultural operations. Let me give you another scenario. You got someone that's, let's say, in at the feed store getting new supplies, and as they're going up, they receive a phone call on their cell phone. Are they going to be able to use that cell phone while they're driving? And I can change the scenarios multiple ways. Either it's coming from the farm, get another bill of whatever it may be, or it could be someone else calling as a friend who's not involved in, let's say, some type of ag operation.
Madam Chair and Senator Brzozowski, I'm not going to be able to answer the question. I don't know what the case law is or what the enforcement definition of farming agricultural operation is. I've not been in on any of those definitions or those conversations or have any of that with me. So I can't answer whether the coming from the feed store and getting a call from a friend, my thinking is that would end up being not for the purpose of the farming agricultural business. If it's from the farm itself, someone may be able to argue with law enforcement or to the judge that that's part of the business, but I don't know which way they're going to rule with any specific examples or knowledge.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Smith, when this was described to me by Representative McPherson, I had the impression that we're going to have something that's being a little bit more narrow. The example that he gave me, I think that y'all too had talked about, was if you're moving equipment or livestock across a road into another area, another farm, another piece of tract of land that you need to be able to stage and communicate. Your example of this morning concerns me as to doing Roundup. I mean, it almost takes me back to the stories I heard when they were trying to do open container laws in Louisiana. They didn't pass them in Louisiana because that would mean they couldn't have an open container on a float during Mardi Gras. And so I know that's not where we're going with this, but the reality, I guess the thing is, we're setting up an exemption here that may, in fact, I mean, I'm not sure how law enforcement's ever going to be able to distinguish, and without talking to whoever's on the other line or a portion of that electronic device for the communication purposes as to whether they're in violation or not. So that's I just raise that as a concern that that doesn't seem to be quite as tight as it had been, let's say, discussed previously. I do want to put on the record that, as our administrator said, this is limited to highways. So that means not open or premises open to the public will not be included. So under like DUI laws, that not only applies to people driving on the highways as it's defined, but also applies to people who are on surfaces that are open to the public for use that may not be quote unquote public, but for transportation. The other issue on the second offense, it's been put on the record, but I want to make certain that one, officers do not have the duty, an obligation to suit, file the first citation for the primary offense for the reason or the pretext for the stop, or the reason for the stop, I should say, as compared to pretext. That's understood, but I'm going to tell you, my officers are going to be probably citing for both because they're going to be challenged in court every time they give one of these tickets as to why they gave one. And even on the back of the ticket, they may say, stop for failure to maintain driving in a single lane. They're going to reach that capacity where they're not going to take on, if you have an attorney representing one of these young people in a trial, to the point of where they're going to start citing. So you're going to actually potentially see young people getting two tickets instead of one, as compared to it being a primary offense. I do understand the constitutional issues we have before us, and that is on the House side getting 31 and on the Senate side getting 16. So with all of my statements I've made, I'm willing to support this at this point, but I am telling, I guess, us to make certain that we're keeping premises to where we're going, because one of the issues I've heard is that some parents have actually said you're singling out the kids, and you know this should actually be going for everyone. Now, the one of the pieces of legislation I helped introduce at someone's request would have applied to all drivers, and it would have been a total ban. I personally wasn't quite ready to go there. I was ready to go with a hand-free type of systems. I know that the stats show that they can be just as dangerous as ones that you hold in your hand. But this does, in fact, focus on a segment of the driving population, which I would say are probably the most vulnerable individuals, the ones, as Troy said, that we need to educate and make certain that they're learning the proper means of driving and not multitasking, i.e. being on the phone. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Right.
Thank you for Troy. Texting while driving. Even for adults, I think it's a dangerous activity. I wonder if I don't really have a problem with an adult holding a phone up to his or her ear while they drive. But when you've got your BlackBerry on the steering wheel and you know you're having to look down and or even worse if you're texting with the cell phone where you got to figure out how many times you got to push each button to get the right letter. Do you have any comments about texting as it relates to driving safety and whether the department has any statistics or are there any national statistics about what kinds of accidents are caused because people are texting?
Madam Chair and Senator Starr, good morning. There is a difference between the texting versus the call, even though both are huge distractions because you're mentally leaving the operation of the vehicle and conducting something else. And texting... In some cases, do we have stats on that? No, there's no way right at this point in time for law enforcement on a crash form to indicate that it was text messaging versus a cell phone as far as driver action during the time. So at this point in time, I would expect that law enforcement is likely just putting down as cell phone type use, and so it's coming in that particular batch. It's not broken down below that, nor have I seen anything nationally that's any definitive study in relationship to text messaging versus cell phones. But both are being lumped to the fact that they are serious distractions. You're describing your eyes are not only leaving the road, but in a lot of cases you are mentally leaving the road as well because you're hooked into the conversation and or trying to deal with what button am I supposed to be pushing at this point in time. We do have in this law a state in relationship to visual display, which is something that last session passed, and that is visual display within your vehicle has to be for the purposes of navigation of the vehicle. So one of the questions I would have, I don't know the answer to this, but the question I would have is if someone is using one of these devices in a text messaging and it's the screen and it has nothing to do with their operation of the vehicle, are they able to be sighted underneath that just as if it was a visual that was a TV or a DVD or something like that cannot be within the view of the driver's area? So there is, I've wondered that myself, the exact same thing as the splitting hairs a little bit, but the difference of text messaging versus cell phones. To do text messaging, you've got some sort of a screen or pager of some sort. One is not dealing with the operation of the vehicle. Not getting directly to your question, because I don't necessarily have some of the information, but I have a very similar question and wonder that myself, if part of this is already enforceable.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I'm going to ask if there is any kind of a law enforcement perspective on primary versus secondary in the audience.
Kevin's glad he came in.
Yeah.
hope that's his second cup of coffee.
I hate to say it, but it's my third. some of these hearings, for the record, my name is Kevin Campbell with the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. Sometimes you come in out of curiosity and it's it's to your detriment. But, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think Troy did a pretty good job of discussing this. This is not a – I don't think law enforcement firmly comes down on either side of this. There are concerns sometimes with provisions like this that are primary because of the perception that law enforcement is looking for reasons to pull over individuals. That is a perception. It's one that law enforcement, pursues as a matter of course, but we are open to scrutiny because of perceptions among the public. And so I know that a lot of the chiefs, when we talked about this, they liked the idea of focusing on driver behavior and the results of driving while using this kind of device, because it is the distraction that occurs that does create real differences in the way driver behavior looks. And the kind of things that Mr. Costales mentioned about going over center lines, and you see that all the time, and if you're out on the road, you see that, and you don't just see it with youth, you see it with everybody. And so clearly we do have a problem across the board. And so, but there is a concern about law enforcement being in a position where they're pulling people over just for that purpose and the perception there. So the perception is a concern. I don't think that we there's no sense among law enforcement that I know of that we would oppose either of these options before the committee. But we do understand that law enforcement prefers to pull over based on behavior. That is that's a safer place for us to be. And so we don't oppose the B9 amendments as they're drafted. And I don't know if that's helpful. That was not a prepared.
I think that's very helpful. Thank
you for putting up with my stuttering on that. Thank you.
So seeing no other discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, just a final comment. I've been involved in traffic safety for 30 years, and there, I've read some studies that show that a person driving, and we're not just talking about kids, anybody driving on a cell phone has an increased likelihood of having an accident to about the same degree as if you're driving 0.08.
Wow.
It really is. It's wow. Pretty dramatic. I personally don't drive and talk onto my cell phone at the same time. That's easy for me because when I learned to drive, they hadn't even invented cell phones. In fact, they came much later. And so it would have had to been a learned behavior for me to learn how to manage a cell phone and drive, and I'm too old. So I don't do it. A couple of times I've been in emergency situations where I've gotten a call. I look for a place to pull over. And I think that ultimately we're probably going to come in our society to banning at least handheld cell phones for all drivers. This is just a first step. Mm-hmm. And it's a first step at the appropriate level because everybody knows that those under 18 and those over 80 are the ones that are more likely to cause accidents. It's just an absolute fact. The very young and the very old are the most dangerous drivers. And so we can't teach the very old. All we can do is maybe take their license away, and that's very difficult. But the very young, hopefully, are impressionable. This is a tool that parents can use. I think anything that enhances communication between parents and children, especially teenagers, when they're learning how to drive. Communication between parents and teenagers is very difficult at best. And so I think this will be a bit of a tool that can be used. I hope that parents, while they're teaching their young people to drive and teaching them not to talk on a cell phone while they're driving, will also themselves not talk on cell phones while they're driving because it's dangerous for all of us. And so with that, I'll support the B9 amendments and support this bill as a first step. But believe me, folks, you haven't heard the last of this issue. This is the next big issue in traffic safety that will be before us probably for decades.
Thank you, Representative Przanski.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just to follow up, I mean, clearly we can just look at how many bills were filed this session on this issue compared to two sessions ago or even last session. And this is, as we've, I think, put on the record, let's say that first step. And it is a very vulnerable population that we're focusing on at this point. But I expect next time the constitutional issues that have kept some of the other bills from going forward with the required votes on both the House and the Senate side will change.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, any objections on the B9 amendments to House Bill 2872?
It'll take it.
No objections noted. Adopted. Okay. Motion, I guess, we need to concur and amend.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2872 as amended with the B9 amendments.
First concur.
Okay, let me read this again. I
have House first.
Yeah, right. I move that the Senate House concur in the Senate amendments dated
June 8th,
and that the bill be further amended and repassed.
So we have a motion. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, just for clarification, the further amendment will be the B9s?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, just a comment, kind of follow up to my two colleagues, one on each side of here. State of Washington this session passed a bill banning texting as for everybody. And they did that, quite honestly, because my understanding is because there was a serious fatal accident in Seattle. I think there was five vehicles, or there was, I believe there was a fatal crash. And I think my colleagues on each side are correct that we're going to have to continue to deal with this. And I just hope that we don't wait until we have an impetus like that to act.
So noted. Representative McPherson?
Okay.
Well, and maybe that's something that interim we can work on, some kind of a consensus. So there is an amendment. Do we need a roll call or just ask for objections? I mean, there is a motion.
There's a motion before us. Either way is
fine. Okay. Any objections on the motion? Seeing none, motion passes.
One final motion.
I think that's it.
We have to sign a conference committee report.
We'll need to sign both the House and Senate carrier.
Okay.
Rod, you want
Representative McPherson?
I'd be happy to carry it.
If you'd be sure to speak up and tell them that you're.
You have my support. Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll give you that. Senator Monroe, we have carriers. Representative McPherson and Senator Monroe. Thank you.
There will be three pages you need to sign.
The conference committee on House Bill 2872 is adjourned.
10 of the 12.